Hello and welcome to Talk of the Town, Buckeye Country 107.7. Dave Doney, Joel Riley, and our special guest today, Olivia Chapman, Marketing and PR Specialist with the Licking County Library, and Kent Daniels. He's the Empowered Minds Coordinator with the library. Glad they could join us. Mostly cloudy skies throughout the day, some rain, high near 55, cloudy tonight, chance of showers, low near 43, and for Wednesday, cloudy with showers. So if you like clouds and you like rain, you're going to get it over the next few days. Actually, chance of a mix of rain and snow on Thursday, so keep that in mind, but going to be kind of rainy the next few days. Happy to have Olivia and Kent come in today. Talk a lot about what's going on with the Licking County Library, but specifically, Olivia, the Anne Frank, A History for Today exhibit that's already been down at the library for a while, but it ends on December 14th. This has been a very emotional, I would imagine, very popular exhibit display. For folks who haven't been down there yet and they want to get down there, maybe explain a little bit about what's going on down there.
Yeah, so we have an exhibit from the Anne Frank House. It's over 30 panels that is describing Anne Frank's journey, her legacy, and writings in her personal diary, which have been really impactful. The public has had a very good response.
And you can come down yourself and do this, or there's some guided tours as well, correct? I know Kent will get into them, but there are some guided tours as well.
Yes, it's open when the library is open, so you can come and view at any time on the upper level. And then we also have a number of programs. There's two more programs that are relating to it, as well as the docent tours.
Mm-hmm. All right, Kent, talk a little bit about this. I know you kind of, we were joking earlier, I'm like Empowered Minds Coordinator, and you're like lifelong learning. I'm like, that one I remember. That one I get. But maybe talk a little bit about this and what this has meant for you to see folks come through and see this very powerful display.
Oh, it's been a great experience. The Anne Frank Center out of the University of South Carolina, they're our primary contact. They're the official U.S. partner with the Anne Frank House in the Netherlands, and they put these tours together, these traveling exhibits together. They came out, helped us set it up. It was a two-day process, and we also had training for staff so they could give tours. So we had to learn a lot of different things about the family, about the history of the annex, and everything that happened to the family. And we also had docent training for volunteers. We couldn't have done this without our volunteers. They also went through the tour training, and we've been open, I think, since November 11th, the exhibit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So were there eye-opening things that you learned as a part of your training?
Oh yeah. It's very emotional, and it's a very hard tour to give. I mean, once you get to the end of it, you're ready for a break, because it's very hard to hear some of the things that happened to the family. And just the thing that struck me early on was just the Franks. They were from Frankfurt, Germany. They were devoted German citizens. Otto Frank served in the German army during World War I. And then just things, just to see the backstory of that family. And once, Hitler came to power, and just how things kind of fell apart, that was very poignant. They went from being devoted a German family to a family on the run, and they just had to keep moving. And Otto Frank was always planning ahead. He saw things coming, and I think that's what ultimately took them to the Netherlands and then into hiding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as you're going through this, are there times where you're thinking, you could see the faces on folks where it's hitting them, what they're reading, what they're seeing, what they're hearing about?
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, for most
yeah.
of us, it's the diary of Anne Frank.
Right.
And maybe you
yeah.
watch the movie. I remember watching the movie as a kid, yeah. the old black and white. But yeah. that's about it. I've never done any kind of a tour or display, obviously.
So when you see Anne Frank, the photographs of her in 1941, when she's getting ready to be kicked out of public school, she was always smiling before that. And all the photographs, she was very outgoing, a very gregarious little girl. And she wanted to be a figure skater. She had all these, she wanted to be a writer, a journalist. And she was always smiling in every photograph. And when you see the transition, it was pretty hard. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when do you go through this, about how long does it take if somebody wants to come down and do the guided
yeah.
tour with you folks?
It's about an hour. We do some shorter tours. If we're available, you can always call us too. We can try to set up something for a small group. Sometimes those can range from half hour to an hour. But the guided tours with our docents and staff are scheduled as an hour event. So.
And how can you, if you want to schedule them, how do you do this? Is it simply call Olivia? Is it get online? How would you do that?
Yes, you can call and our staff can assist with that, but also if you go on our website, we have our events and calendar programs where you can find a time that works best for you and sign up for that.
So how did this come to be? I mean, was this something that you folks sat at the library and said, we want to do something different maybe to show folks what really happened? How did this all come? Because it's not like you just sit down one day and go, hey, we'd like to get the Anne Frank display in here. How did you guys come about this?
Well, our director was looking at an Anne Frank exhibit from the Smithsonian months back, almost a year maybe, and unfortunately they discontinued that one. So after that, we were able to find this one from the Anne Frank House. And being a library and just knowing the power of words, Julia was really wanting to bring this personal and immersive experience into learning more about Anne Frank's story.
So the panels, maybe explain, you said a 30 panels. What are on? Is it just simply pictures? Is it right? I mean, what are on these panels?
It's a combination. It's very linear in terms of it starts from the beginning, from her birth, her family, a little bit of family history, and it works up through the 1930s, the backstory of what happened in Germany, what was going on in Germany at the time, and then it goes to their time in the Netherlands in the early 40s, from like 1940 to 41, and then, of course, up through 1944 when she died, and her family died.
I'm curious, are you having schools come through to see this? Because I would think if you can get kids to come through and see this, and again, most of them may have already read The Diary of Anne Frank, but I mean, are you getting schools to come through to look at this?
Yeah, we have some. We are working with some middle schools. We have some middle school classes coming in for this. Yeah, I should also add, I need to add that the Ohio Holocaust and Genocide Memorial and Education Commission, they donated 250 copies of the diary, the definitive edition. So anyone who comes to the exhibit, either as part of a tour or on their own, there are free copies of those that you can have one. So,
very nice. Yeah, that's great. Again, I just remember reading that and getting through there. So you say it's up until the 14th. Okay,
yes.
So if folks want to come out, don't waste any time. Don't go, you know what, I got a couple of weeks left, I'll go. You should go out there. How's it been received?
Yeah, we've had hundreds of people. I think we're up over 400 or 500 just walk-in visitors. That's not counting our guided tours and our classes. So in our programs, we're getting good attendance too. We have two of those coming up this week as well. So and we have Debbie Sugarman. She's going to be here tomorrow night at 6:30. A program called Legacies of Auschwitz. She's going to be talking about her father's story. She's with Jewish Columbus. She's the education coordinator. And then on Saturday, on the 14th, at the downtown Newark Library. Both of these programs are at the downtown Newark Library. Saturday at 1 p.m., Dr. Myrna Zakic, she's from Ohio University. She's a professor of German history. She's going to be talking about hidden lives and identities, how Jews hid during the war.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you learned more about, as you've gone through this process and maybe talking to these folks that you've set up to come in, have you learned more than you ever thought you would about this? I mean, I know, again.
I think so. Yeah, definitely.
Yes, our public has definitely said that as well, that they, just like you, know of Anne Frank, her name, but they have learned so much more detail from this.
Yeah,
it's amazing. Again, I consider myself American history buff, so, you know, the World Revolutionary War and those kind of things, and you read about World War II and you hear, I mean, we had Remembrance Day for Pearl Harbor on Saturday. I mean, it's amazing that you go this amount of years and still folks are learning new things. And there's some folks who still, to this day, will argue, well, this didn't really happen. That's got to turn your stomach when you hear that after you go through all this.
Yeah, it's a powerful exhibit. It really is. It's I know too. One of Otto Frank's, he was the only member of the family that survived. And when they opened up the Anne Frank House in the Netherlands as a museum in 1960, he was very hesitant at first to do it. I mean, it was very hard for him. And it's just, he said the biggest thing to take from any of this is that we have to learn from this and the importance of helping, even in small ways. Otherwise, none of this means anything. So I think that's probably the most powerful thing I took away from it.
Yeah, it's an amazing story. Again, get down to, and it's only at the Newark location. Do you foresee this coming back and then maybe taking it to one of the other branches, or are you just at this point, you don't know, you're just happy to have it here now?
Yeah, I think right now we're happy to have it here. Who knows what the future brings, though.
Yeah. See, I saw that glimmer in your eye, like, hey, this may be coming back. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more Talk of the Town on Buckeye Country 107.7. Hey there, folks. Dave Doney here.
And Joel Riley.
We're your hosts for Talk of the Town, your go-to podcast for everything happening in our local community.
That's right, Dave. We dish out the latest on events, interview local leaders, and we sprinkle in a little fun.
More than a little fun. So whether you're a longtime resident or just passing through, join us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for a good time and the inside scoop on all things local.
Yeah, don't miss out. Hit that subscribe button now and never miss an episode on your favorite podcast platform.
Or visit our website at WNKO.com to stay in the loop. And if there's a guest, event, or topic you think we should be talking about, send us an email to news@WNKO.com.
I love it. Tune in and be a part of the conversation.
Welcome back to Talk of the Town, Buckeye Country 107.7. Dave Doney, Joel Riley, 9:16 on your Monday morning. Mostly cloudy skies. Rain throughout the day today and into this evening. As a matter of fact, rain all the way through Wednesday as well. And then the temperature drops on Thursday. Could see a mix of rain and snow on Thursday. Joined today by Olivia Chapman and Kent Daniels with the Licking County Library, talking about the Anne Frank History for Today display. And I know, Olivia, we were talking off the air. You were mentioning that there's a lot more that the library has added to this as well. Maybe talk a little bit about that and what the library has brought to this display.
Yeah, so we wanted to make it very interactive and draw people into the story of Anne Frank. So there are things such as we've taped out the size that her bedroom was on the floor, and you can stand in that space and really just get a sense of just how small it was, and also knowing that she had to be quiet in that space and just kind of puts it in perspective. Another area is trying to teach both kids and adults how they had to move so quickly. So there's a table of various different things, some necessities, some more hobbies, and you would have to think like, okay, if I'm leaving very quickly, what can I grab? What do I have to prioritize? And it just really puts it in perspective.
I mean, Ken, as you were going through all this, I mean, do you marvel at the fact that they were able to evade the Germans as long as they did? I mean, because...
Yeah. It's because the annex was over a warehouse space in a business that Otto Frank had one time owned. He was still involved with it, even behind the scenes while they were in hiding. But he, since he was Jewish, he couldn't own a business anymore. So, but the people that took over the business, they were still very close with him. They had to stay out. The floors were very thin. At the time, it was a 250-year-old building. So they had to be very quiet. They couldn't use the bathroom during the day at all. It was amazing. And they had to black out the windows as well. There's only one window in the entire annex that wasn't blacked out, and that was in the attic, and that was where Anne liked to stare. There was a tree, I think a chestnut tree, that she used to like to sit and look at. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the blacking out of the windows was interesting too, because they got away with that because the business, it was called Opecton. They made canning products, but also they did spices. They dried spices there and things. And I guess blacking out windows was a common practice when you dried spices to kind of protect them. So they were able to evade. That helped kind of, you know, just, you know, when people walked by, they weren't, you know, curious about why the windows were blacked
mm-hmm.
out.
Oh, that's amazing. I mean, I never, when you think about that, again, that's not something I would have even put my mind to, is to be able to use that as a reason to keep your, everything blacked out so no one could see in there.
Yeah, and kids today, I mean, you know, we've got social media at the helm. I mean, people look at their phones all the time. To articulate to someone mm-hmm. that's young that pastime was staring at a tree, that has to be, they can't even believe that.
Right.
Yeah.
And to be stuck in the room to do that. I mean, most people are like, oh, you know, the freedom to go do whatever I want to do. And here's mm-hmm. this young girl who, as you said, you know, prominent family, a supporter of the German nation. And then all of a sudden that's taken away. There are not a lot of people who can do that, Kent. I mean, that's not going to be an easy. I mean, put yourself in that shoes. Yeah, I don't know what I'd do. I mean, have you thought about that as you go through this? Like, all right, what Kent Daniels have done with this?
Well, you can't. I mean, they couldn't have done it without their helpers, Meep Geese and their Victor Kugler, and there were a couple of other folks who worked there. They were their helpers, and they're the ones who kept, you know, bringing them food and supplies and things that they needed to just survive, news from the outside world, things to do. They could not have done it without their helpers.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, that was their only connection to the outside world. And that would have been hard. That's just, I can't imagine. Yeah, her bedroom, Anne's bedroom, was like 6 feet by 13 feet, and she shared it with a middle-aged man. So it was a pretty Yeah, that's a small space, and we have that marked out. And it's, if you're just standing in it, it's pretty impactful.
Sure.
And she spent 2 years there.
Yeah. It's an amazing story. And again, if folks, they want to get down there, you can do that at the Licking County Library through the 14th. All right, Olivia, there's a whole bunch of other things taking place. And again, you can't get into all of them, but you guys have this wonderful magazine called Check It Out. I call it a magazine, but my God, you got a lot going on down at the library. I mean, it's got to be a lot of fun, especially this time of the year, because you're going to get people for the holidays who are out of school, out of work, maybe, you know, taking some time off to come down. There's a lot going on.
Yes, definitely. You can find all of it on our website, our program calendar. You can even sign up to get this newsletter digitally. And we're always posting about it on our social media, too. So you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
And do the separate libraries have maybe some of their, we talked earlier about Utica had a history of Utica. Do the different libraries have, you know, special programs for each area, or do you pretty much try to stay with what you have?
Yes, all of our locations do have different programs. For example, one that's actually this evening is the Babcock Holiday Bash. So that's quite specific to that Johnstown location. Mm-hmm. They've been doing that for some years now. And then when able, we focus on the history of different locations.
Yeah, there's so much to do at the libraries. And again, that's the neat thing is you can have this, you know, folks can come down, just walk through it, no fee, just come down and enjoy. Mm-hmm. That's what the library is there for, right, Ken? I mean,
yes.
You talk about the Empowered Minds being the coordinator of that. There's so many different things that you guys do that maybe people wouldn't think about at a library. You're doing these things, correct?
And some of them are virtual.
Yep.
Yeah, we have the virtual classes, too. Those lifelong learning classes, we still have an audience for that, for convenience and things, so... Yeah, the lifelong learning has been a great journey. Going back to COVID, the COTC had been doing it, and that shut down during COVID, and then we kind of picked it up from where they left off, and it looks a little different for us because we're a public library, but we try to bring a wide variety of classes, different subjects, anything from history to science, art, literature. We have writing workshops coming up this winter as well. So it's great to be able to bring these types, all this variety of different things to the community.
It keeps people busy.
It does.
Give
it
them
does.
A reason to get out and do some different, or like you said, virtually. I know a lot of folks enjoy doing it that way as well. Again, if you want to throw out how long the Anne Frank is and the times of the library, folks want to come down, Olivia.
Yeah, it's through this Saturday, December 14th. So come in and check it out this week. And
you said there were two programs associated with it, right, that are coming up. What were those again?
Yes. Tomorrow we have Legacies of Auschwitz, 6:30 p.m. tomorrow. And then on the 14th at 1 p.m., there's Hidden Identities, Jewish Survival During the Holocaust. And both of those are at our downtown Newark location.
And I was telling you that, we had Doug Stout came out and talked to Kiwanis about Licking County residents who served at Pearl Harbor on December 7th, 1941. But you said you guys are doing something with veterans quite a bit. Maybe what was that about?
Well, with the Anne Frank exhibit, mm-hmm. we have a banner there as well that is talking about Licking County veterans, those who were there during the liberation of mm-hmm. the concentration camp.
Yeah, because I was surprised to find out how many, when Doug came to that meeting, how many Licking County residents were actually at Pearl Harbor. I mean, it was amazing mm-hmm. how many folks from Licking County were there that day. So, again, he's a wonderful resource for stuff. I know, Kent, you are, and the library's got so many great things. Folks, just get down there and take advantage of it. But it's the Anne Frank history for today. Get down there and check it out. I appreciate both of you coming in today.
Yes, thank you.
Merry Christmas.
Thanks for having us.
Have a good time. Cook for the family. Get gifts, all that good
Merry
kind
Christmas.
Of stuff. Merry Christmas. Be sure to join us on Wednesday. David Lewis, Superintendent Newark City Schools, will drop by, talk about the first half of the school year for Newark City Schools and what they've got planned going into the new year.